you will hurt. It will be dependent on relationships. Have you noticed that people who are not close to you don't hurt you? They may do things that is hurting, but it's not permanent. Those who really hurt you the most and hurt you deeply are those who are relating to you or in relationship with you. However, there are various kinds of relationships, occupational relationships, family, church, etc. Our subject this afternoon is relationship that leads to marriage. Let us suppose that somebody walks up to you and says, let us consider relationship, marriage. Let us consider the future together. And you began to pray. You began to seek the face of God. The guy invites you on a date. You went for the first date, the second date, the third date, fourth date, fifth date. By the way, by the time it is fourth, you should begin to ask him, what is these dates all about? Or what are these dates all about? Open that scripture to him that says, are you the one, or should we be looking for another? Because if it's food and drink, you have enough in your house. You don't want the person who keeps heating up the engine and has no plan to drive. You don't want a person who just says, let's just keep relating, and they keep seeing you with him. And you know, people in our world, even in church, they will conclude, I saw Sister A and Brother B together, first time, second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time. Next time they say, you know, praise the Lord. The Lord has done it. I said, done what? Oh, come on. I saw you. You saw me do what? I saw you with Brother So-and-so, first time, second time, third time, fourth time. No, you are just friends. This world is deep. Signs of a bad relationship. Why do some relationships therefore not work? Or when is a relationship that which you should walk away from? I know that this is not meant for me. This is not what I should go into. Please, please, please. No matter how desirous you are for marriage, do not say because you don't want to live alone. You subject yourself to a certain kind of relationship. It could be destructive. It could be obstructive to your destiny and future. If you will rise or fall, it is dependent on who you relate to. It only takes one Jonah to sink a boat, and it only takes one Jesus to keep your boat floating. So when your relationships are right, your blessing will flow. If your relationship is wrong, no matter how you try, it won't work. I've seen people in bad relationships who will then say, okay, I will help him. He has a problem. Listen, you have been Mother Teresa. His mother couldn't help him. His dad couldn't help him. His friends couldn't help him. You will not be able to. And in fact, if you perchance help him, so many times, he then dumps the lady and picks somebody else. I've seen it several times. Ladies who think, if I buy him gifts, set him up, then he will love me more. He will appreciate what I have done. No, it breaks our hearts into pieces. How do you know a bad relationship? In Pastor Matthew's books, in one of these books, we spoke on 74 signs of a bad relationship, 75. I don't think you need to go through 75 before you know it's time to call it a date. 5 is enough. But we put all the 75 so that, because what bad sign you saw in this may not be the one you saw in the other person. 75 signs of a bad relationship. This book is interesting. The first one is 45 problems of a blended relationship. What is a blended relationship? A blended relationship is a woman who has married before or had had a living lover before she got born again, and she had children. And the man, too, maybe he had a living lover or was married before, and the marriage broke down, and he has children. Now, this lady with children and this guy with children are about to marry. It is not the typical marriage. It is called a blended relationship because they are blending two families. Am I clear? The lady must know certain truths, so must the guy. There are 45 things here. For example, when you are going into a blended relationship, your children must be ready, must accept, because they can make the relationship. You also must be ready for the guy to be the dad of your children, at least a stepfather who is there for them. If he says, I love you, but I don't want to see your children, I don't want to hear of them, you have to make up your mind. Am I ready to sacrifice my maternal commitment for the sake of this man? If you feel you can do that, that's left to you. I don't want to judge, and I don't want to say this is right or wrong. Same thing goes with the man who wants to bring the woman in. I've seen relationships where she comes with her own children. He came, but she prefers her own children to be trained by them, but doesn't want his children to have any benefit. And it results in all sorts of trouble. It is a blended relationship in the sense that it is not intimate, just you two until children come. No. Teenagers are there, children are there, and it all depends on training. That's the way I raised my children. That's the way she probably raised her children, and we're now coming together. For example, in my house, I have two boys. One is 20, the second is 22. My sons have never slept outside before. I don't believe in, what do they call that, sleepover stuff. I don't believe in sleepovers. I don't allow sleepovers. I don't agree with sleepovers. That's me. Because that's where people pick all the problems. Now, maybe her children have always slept over. So you now come together, and next day you say, where's Janet? And she's sleeping over. So I'm sleep what? So there are challenges in blended relationship. There are many challenges. In fact, in a blended relationship, you don't have just two sets of in-laws. You have four. The father and mother of the previous guy never fully live your life. And now, your father and mother. Then this guy, his father and mother, and the father and mother of his previous wife. Then your previous friends in the previous relationship. His previous friends in the previous relationship. And then teenagers. God bless the teenagers. They know how to make a relationship not work if they don't want it. Feelings are much less complicated in a first marriage than in a blended relationship. So you must be ready. It isn't that it's not possible. And we know in our days we have a lot of challenges. We have situations. We have people who have lovingly gone into a relationship and the man maybe walked out or the woman walked out. There are some of you who are here today. It is possible. The man made every commitment. I will love you till I die. Made a deposit of 2-3 children, and he has not made that commitment. He has not been there for his children. He has not really spent all the time he said he would spend. And then he moved on with his life. And it has hurt the woman. If such a woman is not going into marriage, she needs to be very wise, very careful, so that anything she's doing does not hurt the children again. Amen. I told you earlier in my teaching that one of my little nieces was hanging around me, who's the daughter of the lady whom I just described earlier. All the life of my little niece, she only knew a cold, domineering father who never made a penny's contribution. Where my cousin desires to marry, she will need to be very wise and be sure it's a relationship that will help her children. Is that clear? The next truth about relationship, of course, is 37 things about ending a relationship. I'm sure many people think, how to end a relationship? You just say no. Or you just say, it's over. But relationships don't end that way, because you are in a spirit, soul, and body. Not body yet, until you are married, please. Say with me, true love waits. Or say louder, true love waits. So in other words, you are in this relationship emotionally. You are in it spiritually. You are committed to the guy. Maybe it's the lady that even felt we can't go on. It has to be a gradual step. And then both of them lovingly bring it. And where it is becoming difficult, you bring an arbitrator, maybe a pastor, to handle the situation, who is not having any emotional contribution, emotional involvement. Is that clear? Who is able to handle the two sides and help to bring a peace, accord, and in a relationship. Some people don't like to accept that it is over. There are seven stages you go through when you lose a loved one. There are the same seven stages what a divorcee goes through. It is the same seven stages when a relationship is over. You want to hear about that? Get the tape on. what was that tape again? Strategizing for Success in the series Be the Best. Okay, I'll give you. Stage one is the stage of grief. Is it grief? Denial. Thank you very much. I'm beginning to forget my own message. Stage of denial. Your dad died or your mother says a lie. The person, I was in my office here and had to break news to a guy whose sister just died. She was visiting London. She's 37. When I told him, his sister, that a guy dived and was coming for my neck. Thank God for a brother who intercepted him. Slow motion, you know. I would have been a dead man. It was denial. The next stage is the stage of anger. He did that to me. Joe. It's a lie. He's joking. Joe is coming back. And after all that we have shared, that's stage two. Stage three is bargaining is like four. What? No. Depression, I think it is. No, bargaining is number three. You begin to bargain. No, please, Joe, we can sort it out. We can agree. We can sort this matter out. Don't leave me. You write a song for yourself. Don't leave me. Stage four, depression. Anyone who crosses the path of a person who has just been hurt in a relationship will know there is trouble. The dog runs away from her. The cat runs away from her. Her children are in trouble because mom is just all tears. She's so depressed. She cries all the time. And stage five. Acceptance. It takes a long time to reach that place. Some people, it's in a week. Some in 2 weeks. They say, well, life moves on. Life goes on. Joe said he's found somebody. I have to accept. Now, when you accept, you must not do a rebound. A rebound is if you look for somebody immediately to be in relationship with. You don't love that person. You are just replacing Joe. Stage five is hope. No, stage six is hope. Stage seven is fulfillment. If you believe that, I will wait until my change comes. Job 14:14. Then stage seven is fulfillment. You know that if this person wasn't giving you, it must be because they are not the right person. Did you get something from that? So ending a relationship. But we're looking at signs of a bad relationship. There are also signs of a good relationship and how to solve solutions to an unhealthy relationship. A bad relationship. How? Why? What are the signs? Number one. It's a bad relationship if you invest more into your partner than he or she is doing. You give love, you encourage, you pray, you sow seed into their life. You observe their need, you did it, but they don't care about you. In a relationship where love is one-sided, the investment of care is also one-sided. Please, it is better to live single than to marry into a relationship that is one-sided. It can lead to mental breakdown. I've seen it several times. You know you are in a bad relationship and you are investing more if you are usually the one who reaches out first to show affection. You are the one who always wants to have this person with you. You go out of your way to be with him or her. In the beginning of the relationship, you told your family and your family, friends, and everybody about your partner. In a one-sided relationship, they don't bother to tell their relations. They don't tell their friends. In fact, they are acting as if they are not yet sure. You are the one who makes most of the plans also in a bad relationship. You are the one who makes most of the plans. You are the one most excited about the relationship. I've met people whom, when you see them, it is really the guy that says, we're in love. He is in love for both of them. Or she is in love for both of them. Oh, we did this and we did that and we did this. And you find that if it is a one-sided relationship, that person may even end up sponsoring the wedding, sponsoring everything. Can I tell you some hard truths I've observed? And there have been cases in church by the same guy whom you can tell he's really not in this relationship. He ends up going to mess up himself and break his marriage vow with another woman somewhere. Because all the signs were there, and this other person was not willing to face it. You're in a bad relationship if you initiate most of the contacts of relationship, all the phone calls, all the discussion. You are the one who is always calling, always texting. You wrote 10 pages of text. Your phone said, I can't send this one in one go. I need 20 goals. And when you sent all, and his own reply was, thank you. And instead of you to say, is that all? You went and stored it. And every time you come, thank you. You delete that one from your phone, man. How do you resolve that bad sign I just told you? Don't make excuses for the person you are in relationship with. Let them build bridges too. Did you get the point? Let them build bridges too. Let them build bridges to you as you build bridges to them. That is a relationship. Build bridges to them. They build bridges to you. The next problem. You are in a bad relationship if your partner invests more time and cares more than you do. Now let me read that again. Your partner invests more time and your partner cares more than you do for him. So if you find that you don't think you should invest time in this person, you don't think you should give time to this person, you don't think you should give your money to the relationship as the other person gives. It has become a one-sided thing. It should be a two-way thing. Did you get what I'm saying? A two-way thing. A two-way thing. This is the opposite of the first one, and is buttressed by your constant self-defenseness when you are accused. The other person says, you don't give into this relationship. I give so much into it. And you begin to count what you have done when you really have not done anything. You feel you are boxed in a claustrophobic relationship. Matter of fact, you feel that I don't really want to be all the time with this person. I want to be with everybody. Now, there was a season of friendship when you were friendly with everyone. But when you are now dating a person, you've got to truly date to know the person. Or courtship, let's use the word courtship. You need God to truly court the person so that you really know who they are, they know who you are, you know their mannerisms, you know what you can't stand, and you know if it's a changeable or an unchangeable. Some changeables, they will change. The one that is unchangeable, you have to endure. Or you say, well, this is not important to me, I can overlook it. And if it is very important, you say, I cannot overlook this. You know? So bad relationships. In a bad relationship, you are annoyed constantly. And feel that your partner is clingy and always needing. You are annoyed constantly. You are always getting angry. There's always fight, arguments all the time. Listen, you will not outgrow it if it is volatile in your relationship outside of marriage. You will only magnify it. Because, listen. When people fall in love and they are courting, they write all kinds of sweet nothings to each other. They say all kinds of things. They send poems to each other. They buy music they send to each other. You are the sugar in my tea. You are the honey of my life. The sunshine in my dark day. You are the peace in my life. The bridge over my troubled waters. You bring favor and flavor and savor to my life. I remember going through such a poem one time. And the 9-year-old boy came to see me after service. He said, can I have that poem, sir? Relationship that is one-sided never works. If you see a marriage that is working, it is because the two people are committed. And many of us were here. Probably even come from backgrounds where we have relations that have expectations of us to continue to service them with money and helps. You are not ready for marriage if you are not willing to let your relations know, I cannot do that unless my partner agrees. But you don't even tell them. You share it with your partner. He says, no. We both are not giving that. We are only giving to our parent. Because they are, even if your parents are the wealthiest on earth, it is important to honor them. Honor is not only in respect and pleasantry. It is also in giving gifts. Is that clear? The Bible says, honor your father and mother that your days may be what? Long. Number three, It's a negative relationship. You are in a bad relationship if you are in love with the person's ability. Did you hear me? Have you seen girls scream at the Michael Jackson? Well, in the days when Michael Jackson was Michael Jackson, I don't know who he is now. You know what I'm saying? But you've seen young people scream at the performance of some artists, haven't you? The guy comes on the stage and they're screaming, and everybody wants to marry that person. Many times it is the ability and the fame that they fell in love with, not the person. They may not realize that this guy is famous, is fantastic on stage, but is a potential wife beater. A person who will be disrespectful to a woman, who will not treat her like a lady, who will misuse her and abuse her and sell her down the river. So, bad relationships start when you are in love with the person's ability. What do we mean? When you see weakness, you think they just need a little more time to change. The guy is hitting at you, or you arrived at his house, he leaves you there sitting for hours. 4 hours, 2 hours, 3 hours. Oh, he does all kinds of things. You say, well, with a little change, with a little help, he will change. Oh, he smokes, he drinks. You say, well, I know he takes alcohol. I'll be praying for him. I'll cast out the spirit of alcohol. Take him for deliverance. You didn't realize, look, these are signs that the relationship will have a problem. You keep telling yourself. Then the next thing is you keep telling yourself, nobody cares for him like you do. I've seen that too. They say, you people don't understand him. That's why you're saying what you're saying. I know him. I understand him. He's a nice person on the inside. We want to see that nice person. Let it come out. You are in a bad relationship when you now begin to be the one saying nobody understands him. You are the only one who understands him. You keep feeling everybody misunderstands and underestimates what your partner can do. I've seen young ladies who will tell their parents, or a young man who will tell his parents, you don't know this person. I know them. And they end up in a marriage that hurts them. You keep making excuses for their slipshod relationships with your family and friends. Disregards your parents. Disregards everyone who is related to you. Doesn't know how to talk to anyone. You feel you can't give up on this person because you will be disappointing and letting him down. I remember a girl who said, I just have to cut him. Because if I don't court him and probably marry him, he will backslide. If you marry him, he will backslide. If you don't marry him, he will backslide. And if he doesn't backslide, it's not your marriage. It's now you marrying him that will hold him. It is God's grace that will uphold him. And so you do not become the solution to a person's problem. Do you get the point? You do not become the solution. You can be a problem solver. You can temporarily be used of God to help them with a healing process. Even when he's healed, you have to ask God if you are really the one in this man's life or this woman's life. You may not be the one. You may just have been brought into their life to bring healing and to move them to the next stage. Solution is to stop gambling with your own destiny and be very sure that you are in this relationship together. Don't assume that you are in the relationship together. Be sure. See it with your eyes. Be sure you can see it from his action and her action that you are in this relationship together because of the sacrifices made, because of the efforts made, because of the investment of time, investment of appreciation and friendship. Remember the teaching we did on friendship. You will be able to tell if this person is in it together with you or if they are not in it with you and you are the one doing the loving on behalf of both of you. Next one, of course. You are in a bad relationship. You are in the wrong relationship if you act like you are on a mission to free your partner. As if you are on a mission to free this person. This kind of person tends to attract those who are of emotional, financial, and physical problems. If they have emotional problems, you are the one always handling their emotional problem. And you may have been sent to them truly to help them come out of their emotional problem, but once it is over, nothing says you were supposed to marry them. I've seen a lady fall in love with a guy in prison. She thinks, oh, I'm to help him. Truly, she stood with him and he came out of prison. But then there's no way the relationship couldn't work because the fire that kept her compassion is gone. I don't know if you got the point. There are things you do in moments of trouble you cannot do when there's no war. A woman was driving one time in the United States of America. Suddenly her car was assaulted. By some unusual miracle, she found herself outside the car. She managed to come out of the car. She opened the door and came out. But then as she came out, she saw that the car was resting on her child. I tell you, some unusual anointing, unusual strength came on that woman. She lifted the car and pulled her child out. Passers-by saw it. They called the radio and TV station. The TV station told her to come and reenact it. She couldn't lift the wheel of the car because there is nothing to motivate her. There's nothing to motivate her. In the first stage when her child was under that car, I'm sure she remembered all the problems, all the challenges, the first gestation, second gestation, the first trimester, second trimester, whatever she went through, she remembered all the pain of having this child. This child would not die. And strength came. Just like the Incredible Hulk. Never becomes a Hulk until there is trouble. Once the trouble is over, it's so gentle. Some people feel that they are the Incredible Hulk to solve the problem in a man's life. They come in, handle emotional problem. He has financial problem. She sponsors him. She pays all she pays for everything he needs. And she doesn't realize you do not do that. I've seen it too many times. Too many times. Bought the car, bought this, bought that. Then one day she finds that he doesn't really love her. So in a bad relationship, your partner frequently feels they need to be calmed down because they are constantly overwhelmed, expressing helplessness and victimization, and you have to always be there. If you get into this kind of relationship, you will always have to be the one picking the pieces after them. You will become very drained. Marriage should be a place where your heart is healed, your mind is healed, and your joy is increased because of the relationship you're in. In this kind of relationship, you take a parental role in the life of the partner because you constantly provide warmth, care, love, and affection. And I mean, listen, I see some people who sometimes say, when you ask them, what do you want in a wife? They say, I want a woman who will be a mother to me. If you need a mama, you go back home. There are ladies too who say, I need a man who will be a father to me. If you need a daddy, I'm not your daddy. Go look for daddy at home. It is enough job for a woman to be a wife, housekeeper, mother to your children, lover, girlfriend. Proverbs 31 woman, and then you want your mother. Next time the guy says, I'm looking for a wife who'll be a mother, say, I'm not your mama. Praise God. In this kind of relationship, you don't only take a parental role, your partner constantly feels badly treated for the past and for the present. So you are always making up to them. For everyone who have ever hurt them, you have to pick the pieces on their behalf. They feel society owes them. Their parents owe them. Everybody owes them. Your partner feels hurt all the time. So you tolerate all their bad behaviors and you give excuses for how they operate. What is the solution? Find respect for your partner without losing respect for yourself. You are a woman of dignity, a man of dignity. Don't fall in love with a lady to the point that you lose your own identity as a man. You must know who you are. Yes, God brought you into their life to build them up, but God didn't bring you into their life to destroy you either. Praise God. You don't, because you have fallen in love, then lose your own joy and you keep throwing everything into this person's life, quenching their fires and quenching their fires when they have no commitment to you. Because unless a person is in marriage with you, they have no commitment. And even in a marriage, you don't want it to be so one-sided that you are pouring into their glass and they are not pouring into your life. It should be a two-way pouring, that you are pouring into the other person's life and they are pouring into your life. Amen. Very key, very key. Sign of a bad relationship. You may be in the wrong relationship if you fall in love with a role model. You say, what? Yes. Don't fall in love and marry a person because he's a great role model. Because once you marry them, when you get home, you will discover their Achilles heel, their point of weakness. Everyone has a point of weakness. We are all tunnel vision in certain areas. So if you saw this person, he was my teacher in university. He was my lecturer. He was a great person. A great this. You fall in love with a role model. He was the best brother in the church. Everybody respected him. That's why I want to marry him. He's the one the pastors think he's the best brother around. So he's a role model, and you have not made room for other problems. The danger is there that you will put the person on a pedestal and the relationship will never be balanced. You've placed him on a pedestal, always looking up, and he has no chance to be natural. He has no chance to be himself. He has to always be dignified, even in his own house. Dignified to eat. Dignified to move around. And whereas he may have not been brought up in a house where they approach the table to eat with dignity. You know, some homes, everybody sat around the table to eat their food. And in some homes, you grab the food where it met you. And particularly for today's young people, who has time to set any table? Come on, tell me the truth. You know, most young people today, as they are quickly slapping the food together, they are also quickly moving to the front of the television, or you are eating the chicken there and the rice is over there. The drink is there, the dessert is over there, everything is all over the place. Whereas you've set him on a pedestal. So he's having to now act what he is not. You will not have a fulfilling marriage because it will become a cold and callous marriage. When I teach Don't Date Devils, one of the 15 characters is Mr. Cold Stone. He is as cold as they come. He doesn't know how to show affection. He doesn't know how to love. Secondly, because he will constantly quote what they say. Thirdly, because you see them as more intelligent than you are. They may be intelligent, probably more intelligent. However, you are in this relationship and your own mind matters. Did you hear me? Your mind matters. If a man disregards his wife because he thinks he knows more, he will hurt his destiny. You are both together. Men and women see different things. A woman can pick and smell temptation coming towards her husband from 10 miles, whereas the man will just walk into it. He doesn't see it. Hey, bro, hey, sis. And the wife can smell it from very far. I live in an area where there are so many foxes that come into the neighborhood. They're waiting for the day you put the bean bag out so they can have and scavenge. I notice when they come into our premises that when the double glazed window is shut, they can smell humans, but not much. The moment you remove one glaze, even though the thing is so far away, how did it smell me in my room? I don't have B.O. Some people think God loves B.O. So they don't use aftershave. So as you're sitting beside them in church, you say, oh, praise the Lord, Jesus, have mercy. My last trip abroad, as I was going, I could not sleep. The guy beside me. I'm talking virgin upper class. You will expect that a man who had enough money to invest in a ticket for upper class will be able to invest in a little bottle of aftershave. And the human nose has been made by God after 5-10 minutes to shut down smell so you don't smell it. Not this guy. Six hours, man. Not this guy. Man, it was trouble. As soon as I landed, somebody asked me, how was the flight? I said, smelly. Anyway, in this kind of relationship, you will persistently feel you've got to make up to to them by achieving, so you will show that you deserve them. Because you've placed this person on a pedestal, he's a role model, you therefore feel, I have to achieve. I have to, no. You begin to think, I have to perform to be a deserving wife to him, a deserving husband to her. For example, unless a person like Oprah Winfrey chills out, I'm sure whoever wants to marry her will have to tell her, wait, you are a role model, but when you are in the house, you are my wife. You are not the Oprah who shows up on your show. So that there is no placing her on a pedestal. But if he places her on a pedestal, there will be trouble. You get the point? There will be trouble if he places her on a pedestal. You persistently feel you've got to make up to them by achieving to show that you deserve them. A marriage is not like that. Marriage is two people who have decided to share their future, to live together, to be happy together, and we cannot be happy if I'm always feeling inferior to you. Of course, God ordained the man to be the head of the home. But God didn't say, because he is the head, the neck is inferior. Because if a man is the head, the woman is the neck. You see, when you talk neck, there are all kinds of necks. Long necks, short necks, and some no neck. And some marriages, you see, all neck, no head. So she announces all the time on behalf of her husband, we have decided. You will always feel that you are not right enough until they say so. If you place the glass there, you feel no until he says it's okay. If you did this, no until he says it's okay. You persistently feel you are so lucky to have had this. Of course, you must feel lucky to be married to your wife or your husband. But then in this kind of setting, the people even feel, nobody else got Denzel Washington but me. No, his wife should chill out at home. Denzel is Denzel on screen. He's a husband and a dad at home. Will Smith is Will Smith on screen. What's her name? Is it Tada or Jade or whatever? Huh? Jada, okay, Jada, she'll just chill at home. He's just Will. And he's at home. There's nobody else but just Will. He's not even the prince of any place. It's just Will. You keep sacrificing to be more like the person you have picked if you have married a role model. You lose your own identity. You just want to be like them. And that becomes dangerous because you've lost your own identity. And if that person were to hurt you or leave you, God forbid, that kind of a life falls apart because their role model is the one that failed them. What is the solution? Develop a godly self-love so that you personally admire what God has made you to be and what you can achieve. And out of that, you will admire the persons around you. Did you get the point? In the series we are doing in KICC right now called Be the Best, I taught on positive love, positive relationship. And I said, positive love starts with me accepting me. Jesus said, love your neighbor how? As yourself. And it's repeated. It's also in the book of Leviticus. You must first of all value who you are. Treat yourself right. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? If you see yourself ugly, that's the way the world will see you, because it doesn't take long. How you accept yourself is showing. Now, it is not arrogance if you love yourself. Although it is narcissistic if you worship yourself. That's another character in Don't Date Devils. Narcissus is the man in Greek mythology who went to a river and saw his own face in the river and fell in love with himself and kept coming back every day speaking to himself. You look very nice today. Being, having a positive self-love is not being narcissistic. It is putting value on yourself. Do you know that when you meet people who have a good confidence, you can tell? They don't feel inferior to anyone. They don't feel less because of their race, face, place, or grace. They don't feel less because they have a different race. They don't feel less because their place in life is not like your place. They don't feel less because they don't have your grace, your talent. They don't feel less because they don't have your face. There is no ugly person on earth. Did you get me? Touch yourself and say, I'm not ugly.
I'm beautiful.
Touch your neighbor, tell him, you are sitting by a beautiful person today. If your friends say your nose is big, thank God for it. It's a masterpiece. Did you hear what I'm saying? Your nose is a masterpiece. Your face is a masterpiece. Your voice is a masterpiece. Because I preach on television, I'll enter into a shop and I'm backing people and I speak and I see people turn. I know that voice. How did they know the voice? Because there's only one Matthew Shimolo kind of voice, croaky, broken from 31 years of preaching, screaming. This time last week, I'm preaching in a town called Port Harcourt. Sunday last week, I'm speaking to 7,000 students of University of Port Harcourt, screaming. That's no, I mean, so your voice, that once you speak in a hall, you could just, people just know, that's her. They can identify you by your voice, by your hair. They can, I mean, you are a masterpiece, man. Didn't you read Psalm 139? You're a masterpiece. Nobody looks like you. You are a masterpiece. How can they call you ugly? Even if the nose was placed in another place. That's another style, man. And if they say, why, how come your ears bend this way? Just tell them it's satellite ears, man. Satellite. Scattering information. It's gathering. Touch yourself, say, I'm a masterpiece.
I'm a masterpiece.
I am beautiful.
I am beautiful.
Tell your neighbor, you are sitting by a masterpiece.
You are sitting by a masterpiece.
Praise God. Somebody doesn't like your weight, that's their problem. If you like it, fine, you keep it to yourself. Somebody doesn't like the fact that you are thin, that's their problem. If you like it, stay thin. Somebody doesn't like your height, you better like it because you can't grow taller. After you are 21, you can't grow taller. You can buy platform shoes, but that's the best you can do. Of course, you can grow sideways. Did you get something from that? I said, did you get something from that? Quickly, one more. You may be in the wrong relationship if it is purely based on physical qualities. Isn't she beautiful? Don't fall in love with a person's looks alone. The Bible doesn't say we shouldn't love what we see. The Bible doesn't say we shouldn't value the physical. You don't want to, like I said earlier, you don't want to marry a person, wake up one day, and you shook your head and say, do I know you from somewhere? And she's looking, hoochie, mama, like they say in America. Or he's looking, Idi Amin, Idi Kaka Amin. You call Uganda money, that kind of money? I will show you what they do to that kind of a thing. Idi Amin. However, if you, and I want to warn the young men particularly, many times as a pastor, if I call, if I grab a young man whom I'm interested in, what's happening, relationship, hey, bro, what's happening? Say, well, I'm praying, pastor. So who's on your mind? When they begin to mention the sisters, you can tell that this guy is saying, watch and pray. Watch and pray. You know, when I was a little boy, when I went to school, we used to have a joke that God took time and created the first set of people on the first day, on Sunday. On Monday, he also had time, created the next beautiful people. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You see, by Friday, he was getting tired, man. And he just slapped some people together and he said, go and be somebody. Just be somebody. But that's a lie from the pit of hell. You are a beautiful person. I said, you are beautiful. Now, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. What you saw, say, a guy comes to you and says, hey, excuse me, sister, have you seen you in church? What's your name? My name? Now, because you don't even want a date, not even courtship, my name. You want my name. Huh? You really want my name. Because you've looked at him, you think, too short. I don't know why ladies think the man has to be tall. May God help all the short brothers. Now, if you are short, say amen. Amen. All right. So some people fall in love also with a person's gifting. They'll fall in love with the way the person walked. You fall in love with the person's gifting, then you are in trouble. What happens if the talent is over? What happens if they retire? You met a footballer. He's playing for, let's choose one team now. Chelsea, it has to be Chelsea. That's my team, man. Has to be Chelsea, you know what I'm saying? Blue is the color, you know, so. Yeah. Well, who asked? I don't know how they won that cup, you know what I'm saying? But I just don't know how they won that cup. They ruined my Saturday on that day, you know what I'm saying? I don't watch football. I was preparing my message, then the game began. And for some reason, I began to support Arsenal. I don't usually support Arsenal. Well, at least they are supporters. Oh, there are many Arsenal supporters here. All right now. So I'm at home today. Okay. Now, he plays for Arsenal, let us say. But maximum 35, he'd be retired. He'd be an ex-footballer. But you fell in love with his talent. You fell in love with his talent. And the talent has been retired. So you must fall in love with the total package. His mess and his miracles. Did you get that? His mess and his miracle. When I met my fiancée who became my wife, when I saw that this thing was becoming serious, I knew that my mother experienced mental depression from when I was a little boy. I told my fiancée, my mother experienced mental depression from when I was a little boy. If you want to marry me, you will have to know that you may not even have a mother-in-law who will come and help you for 1 week, stay with you, with your baby. You can even meet her if you want to. That's my mess. I can't run away from it. It's my history. Some people don't talk about it. Sorry, some preachers speak to you as if they arrived from Mars. I was born on planet Earth. in a place called Africa, in a country called Nigeria. So, I told my fiancée, who will become my wife, this is my mother. This is her state. I told her, my dad died in the Nigerian Civil War as an army officer. So if you're expecting a father-in-law, he will not be there. So I showed her the mess and the miracle. I said, look, in fact, I'm a young pastor. I live in a studio flat. If you marry me, I have dreams. And I have a vision. That's all I have. Now, there was no KICC. I had no car. I even had no, what did I have? I had a motorbike. I had an accident on the motorbike. I mean, a lady came out of the bus, crossed the wrong side of the road, hit her, lost my skin. She lost two teeth. We both made contribution to the accident. So I told my wife, this is my mess. This is my miracle. Some people bury their head. They try to make people see only their miracle. One day they will discover your mess, and then there will be a problem. There is a point, of course, where you show the mess. You don't show the mess the day you are dating the lady and say, date me. I have a lot of mess. Because some people don't know when to talk. If the guy is asking you, how many boyfriends have you had? Not now. I'll tell you later. When I know I'm close to the ringy. I think we should stop here and have another break. Let's have this break. Okay, 5 minutes. All right. Some fall in love with the fact that they've always wanted a person who performs a certain role. I've always wanted to marry a pastor. I've always wanted to marry... What do you want, really? Tell me. Huh? A doctor? I've always wanted to marry a doctor. I've always wanted to... You know, then you find that you didn't consider the downsides. If you marry a doctor, he may be on call 24 hours. Maybe on call several hours. Maybe on call, he just came back, there's an emergency. So you really have no life. And the doctors never get out of books. They're always reading for this exam and that exam. When you finish medicine after 6 or 7 years, then you begin on specialization. It may take 2, 3, 4 years. It depends on how long it took you to pass. Then you have to be... then you want to become a fellow of the College of... Surgeons. Then after you've done it, then one day he decides, I don't even want to do all that. I want to be a GP. He can't just be a GP. He has to do GP exam. Why can't you just pass one exam in one go? Then you now find, I was the one who was looking to marry a doctor. You want to marry a pastor? Welcome. Welcome to an open life. Welcome to no closure, no closing time, 24 hours. Welcome to, even if you shared your phone with the most intimate people, they give their most intimate friends. Who give the most intimate friends? Then you get a call by 2:30 in the morning. And I was there. Recently, my wife and I were abroad, and the person texted me, my life is in danger. I didn't answer. The next text came, this is when I need you the most. You want to put me in trouble, but my wife is here. Then 2:30 in the morning, my phone begins to ring. I just dismantled the whole thing.
What is the solution?
It is to understand that marriage vows which says for better, for worse are really what they are. So, if this person didn't do what you fell in love with, would you still love them? This guy, this footballer you fell in love with, what happens if he lost the leg? Forgive me. Let me be really, really frank. Those guys who walk in carnality, and you fell in love with how she looks, and your eye was on her boobs. Yeah, I told you I'd be frank. And 3 years into the marriage, they had to cut it because she had to go through mastectomy. She had this cancerous, deadly cancer, which if they don't cut, it will spread. She would die in a few years. So she really has only one breast. What would you do? So many of these brothers need to wake up and smell whatever they want to smell, coffee, tea. I face reality, life is changing. These things happen. You might even find that the person you want to date already has had a mastectomy. And you dare not ask them, how many are there? I told you I'd be very frank, isn't it? So we've got to understand that when you base relationship purely on just the physical, it becomes a problem. Living life is about having someone who will walk the valley with you. Recently, we faced great attack and challenges. That was when I really, in a greater way, valued the decision I made about marriage. Now, if I married my wife only for her looks, my wife is beautiful, very beautiful. If I married her only for the looks, suppose she's beautiful and no brain. Because some people are like that. When they show up, Lord have mercy. No matter how much you speak in tongues, you liberal koshe take care. But they just no brain. Not only brain, no wisdom. Because it's not just brain. My wife operates on wisdom. Wisdom of God. So, if you marry only for the physical, then you'll have a challenge. Father, we thank you for this second session. I thank you because your people are already blessed. Continue to magnify your name in our life. Help us to grow in your grace, to be the best you want us to be. In Jesus' name. May I encourage you to recognize the fact that the best thing to do is not just to come to this summit, but to come and be able to take products with you. To be able to take products with you. We have various options in the paper in your hand. Option one is don't date devils, which I shall be teaching in the next session.